adrenals, another gland, will be more suited to the base. And do you know which goddess in mythology rules the adrenals and kidneys?
Venus,
yeah. And how is Venus classically depicted in art when she's being born? Do you know?
Yeah.
Anyone remember? Got like a
shell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And the key thing I want to focus on is the phone process. So Venus rules the adrenals and kidneys. The metal of Venus is copper. Copper-based blood organisms include cuttlefish, sepia, squid, and all the rest of it. And our blood used to be originally copper-based. Okay, so we're going to look at bone marrow. The early blood in your bone marrow contains copper as the main metal in the red blood cells, not iron. Then it gets the iron when it goes out into the blood, well, before it gets into the blood. In Chinese medicine, the kidneys, at an embryonic level, builds the bone marrow, hence the stock of cells in your bone marrow to make blood, and your brain marrow, the tissue of the brain. They equate that to the marrow of the bone as well. So basically that means brain tissue, essence, energy, vitality. And it all boils down to if your kidneys and adrenals are weak, you can have poor concentration, anemia, memory loss, premature senility, mental fatigue, chronic fatigue with a lot of mental exhaustion, and you can get other things, weakness in the blood and so on. So in this technique, what we do is very simply imagine foam in your kidneys and adrenals. And foam is, you know, like gel, sea foam. Foam is a mixture of water and air mixed up, like tiny little bubbles. And that's important to realize because air is a carrier in your body of something called the astral body, which is the emotional energy. So your emotions travel through air particularly. And you kind of know that because when you breathe, your breathing is intimately affected by your emotions. If you're upset, sad, you know, you slow down, you sigh, you breathe shallow. If someone who's panicking, they can hyperventilate and so on. And water is the vehicle for what's called your etheric body, which is a metabolic vital energy of the body, the energy of the body. So air and water mix. Now that mixing, without going into too much detail, a very complicated subject, is where your astral body mixes with your etheric body. And that happens in the adrenals and kidneys. So I wanted to visualize the foam. Now as you visualize that foam building up in your adrenals and kidneys, then imagine that foam rising, because you know, have you ever worked with expanding foam? It's terrifying.
Yeah, it keeps going.
It just expands. You're having a panic attack. Where's it going to stop? So you imagine that foam expanding. And as it fills up your body, if you've got plenty of foam, it literally, you know, you're like blowing. That's vitality. And it expands to your head. Okay, so start there as a meditation. And what I said to people just before they came in is, unusually, I can't think of what meditations to do this evening. I just couldn't, you know. I've had a mental block. So I thought I'd go round and scan the energies and see what the group needs. And you individually, you might need stuff. So while you're doing that meditation, I've got time to scan. So visualize yourself then in a column or bubble of light. Like I said, this starting meditation is to help regenerate your energy generally in your kidneys. Adrenals. So ask to activate the foam process in your kidneys and adrenals and visualize foam expanding, filling in that area as if you're recouping your energy including energy lost over your life through stress, fear, panic, shocks, or general debility from overwork. Imagine you can recoup all lost energy in this life from your original stock. Just by imagining that phone. Imagining that foam is both grounding you, strengthening your base chakra, and also lifting up your energy to energize your brain. To imagine there is no limit to how much energy your body can have, etheric energy, vital energy. I was having my tea the whole way through. Excellent. Now, luckily, you all need the same meditations. So, we'll focus tonight on the upper chakras, heart, throat, brow, crown. Activate something in sequence, starting from the heart going upwards. And the main theme is to help you surrender to your higher self and spirit guides and to God. All of you needed that, or wanted that. So, fine. So we won't worry about the lower chakras, but something will happen with them. Because remember, the higher up you go, that energy then has to ground. And as it grounds, it starts clearing the lower chakras as it does so. Because something in your lower chakras might be stuck and can't clear until it needs the next level of energy from above. There are two ways of thinking of it, so I'm meandering a bit. You can think of the occidental or eastern path or the western path, and ultimately you integrate it all. The traditional eastern path would be to develop your lower chakras first, provide a stable base sacral solar plexus energy field from which you ascend. That tends to involve, therefore, a lot more body work, martial arts, and breathing exercises, and strengthening the hara. whereas the traditional Western path would be to open up the upper chakras as the prime focus, and as you do that, temporarily, your lower chakras actually get tired, depleted and worn out, because you're raising the energy, and it can accelerate all kinds of things, but bring on all kinds of instability and mental illness even. But ultimately, those upper chakra energies then have to come to ground, and then that becomes hard work sometimes to ground it. There's issues on both sides, because if you try and focus only on the lower chakras first, you can actually make the energy too sluggish to open up your upper chakras with. It takes more effort to raise the energy. But if you open up your upper chakras first, that energy is too light to come to ground. You see what I mean? Anyway, let's work on the upper for now. So focusing on the heart first. Now, one thing some of you will probably need to clear is the next level of grief or sadness at things like bereavement, attachments to other people, unrequited love, abandonment, stuff like that, broken hearts. Because as you open up to the next level of higher beings, your heart has to be open enough to merge with theirs. They have to be able to enter your heart. They can't enter your heart if there's too much grief and heartbreak and stuff, because that gets in the way. And it means that, and effectively, you've created armor around your heart to avoid feeling hurt again, and that blocks the flow of energy. Paradoxically, you have to break open, and that means to get to the next level of acceptance that every soul has a journey that's unique to them, and you can't hang on to any person. Everyone is free. But that next level of freedom to other souls, living and dying, is effectively accelerates a sort of a grief act, as if, you know, like a heartbreak of bereavement. And that's to living people as well.
Hi, that's
right. So we'll clear that. Now, a good star system to activate there is Aldebaran, which is a main alpha star in the constellation Taurus. Don't need to know much about it, but really there are spirit guides up there, and we'll evoke the spirits of Aldebaran, who are really good at teaching your heart, you and your heart, the next level of unconditional love to others. You know, people you have loved and are loved, and to give them the next level of unconditional love, that means that they are free to go whenever they want. I mean, can you kind of comprehend that level of unconditional freedom and love? Mm-hmm. I mean, have you all got intimate connections with someone, people, whatever? And have you seen them today, yesterday, whenever, or talked to them? If you could activate that level of unconditionality right now, you have to have the energy as if you're never, ever going to hear or talk to them ever again. Right now. That's it. Anyone is completely free to just disappear out of your life. Anytime they like. Can you imagine that? The level of insecurity you may have at anyone, you cannot hang on to anyone. Not even for a second. There is no such thing as, because that's freedom. And that's the same for you. You're free to die whenever you want. Isn't that a luxury? You know, there's nothing hanging on you on earth except your path. And your path may be anywhere. So if we activate that next level, that will release any grief that's stored in your chest, in your heart and lungs, at hanging on to anyone because you wish they were here with you or in a role with you, and they don't have to be, do they? Yeah? Alright, so let's do that. And the whole focus, as I said, for latecomers, the two latecomers, is that we're activating the upper chakras and we're releasing out of the heart the next level of grief that gets in the way of the spirit guides getting into your heart. Okay, so visualize then sitting in a bubble of light. So now imagine, put your focus and your mind's eye inwardly on your heart. Imagine your heart is like a home, both a home and a cathedral, a church or a holy place where you worship and you worship God. While that's happening, for the next few minutes, ask to invoke and receive into your heart. Don't worry if you can't visualize it, something will happen. In your mind, just say, I ask to receive the spirit guides from the star Aldebaran, for these guides to enter my heart and show me the next level of unconditional love to all other souls, to those who I have an attachment to. Unconditional love with freedom. You keep asking for the spirits from Aldebaran, they may particularly show you the lesson is that no one is meant to heal your heart of its pain. Only you can do that, so you can set others free. Sense or imagine as you release conditions and activate the next level of unconditional love, your heart becomes a bigger home that you share with your spirit's guides. Stabilize the energy by imagining connecting your heart to your base chakra, to your kidneys as well. feedback from anyone?
We need a bit longer to work to.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. You know, meditate at home. But yes, there's lots of pain that gets released. And did you feel pain, anyone? Well, it doesn't have to be physical pain, but if it is, that's even better. But, you know, like psychic, emotional pain levels, you recognise that. Did you feel that spirit guides can't live in that painful environment in your heart?
It was like cracking a nut open. It did feel like it was too constricted to...
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, it's kind of a difficult, it's a paradox. As the pain, as your heart expands and it's painful, you want the pain to go away, but if you try to get rid of that set experience and go back to what you were, that's even more painful. So you have to go through it. So the next one, sorry, I'll try and spend a bit longer, but anyway, the next one is we'll connect the heart to the throat chakra. Now, of course, it's an illusion that the chakras are separate. They're in one column. They work in synchronicity. So as we imagine connecting our throat and our heart, it's quite good to connect the chakras in pairs here or there. And one way is you can connect the base to the crown, throat to the sacral, solar plexus to the heart. Another technique you can do is connect the chakra below to the one above. So in this case, connecting heart to throat will allow your throat chakra to express what your heart needed to express emotionally. And that's what a lot of people often don't realize. The throat chakra communication isn't about verbal communication of ideas only. It's about communicating your emotions. And if you can't communicate the emotion out, that emotion gets frustrated. It jams in your heart chakra and solar plexus chakra, the two emotional centers. For most people, it jams more in the solar plexus, and then it triggers liver disease and gallbladder disease and gallstones and all kinds of liver issues. And that's quite common. So quite a lot of liver treatment is to open up the throat chakra, in fact. And so when you do this is you imagine the energy from your heart rising halfway and activating a chakra halfway between your throat and the heart, because there are minor chakras. These are the major chakras, and that minor chakra will open up the two together and allow your throat to release or express or drain out any pain that was in your heart.
So would this be sinus gland in between the two, or is it something?
Partly, but this is a chakra point. It's not just about thymus. And as you do that, then we're going to ask your spirit guides to come in to your throat chakra, and then what they can do depends on what you will feel, is they can work on the front of your throat chakra or the back, or both. And what they do at the back of the throat chakra, if they can manage to do everything, is they open up your past lives to channeling, as if you'd started channeling earlier on in your life, including in your past lives or early in this life. Now, if you'd done that, you'd have been guided properly. You know, like when you look back and say, God, I should have known, I should have done that. Mm-hmm. Why didn't I know? Mm-hmm. So they open up your awareness of the truth. Because the past, the back of chakras tends to be the backward in the timeline, i.e. it addresses things that are in your past. So it'll open up your past, basically, to something. The spirit guides coming in through the front and out, they give you messages, basically, of your future. So this is messages helping you understand your past. This is messages helping you see what's best in the future, such that you can start activating precognition, the ability to know what's ahead in quite accurate form. Of course, if you do that, what will you do with the power of precognition, the power to know what's in your future? You should not use it. because you stay in the now. And because if you keep, you know, but anyway, that's the point. You get the power if you are also not needing to use it.
You can probably evolve much quicker though, because you can see your potential and then sort of start from there.
Yeah, well, what will happen is that power opening up precognition allows you to stay in the present and be fully aware of what is the best thing to do now for the best future without knowing exactly what the future is, but you know it's going to be good.
Might just find out what the national lottery numbers
are. Something like that. And that's the whole point of tonight's meditation. But people who want to know about the future is because they want to have reassurance and they're anxious. And they're the ones who don't stay in the now. They're constantly flying in the future. So now let's try this and see what happens. So again, visualize in your bubble of light, column of light. Again, focus on your heart, and maybe you're feeling there's an increased energy there now. And an energy that wants to rise. So ask that energy in your heart that needs to rise halfway to meet your throat chakra. Ask to open up all the blocks that have existed in the pathway between your heart and your throat chakra, and simply imagine an energy moving from your heart to your throat. As it does so, it allows you to release any stuck emotions that you hadn't been able to communicate before out of your throat. Sense if you are releasing stuck emotions that were there, a new space is opening in your throat chakra. A space that's bigger than the dimension of your body alone. So into that more spacious throat chakra, we're going to now ask to receive the next level of your spirit guides. A team of spirit guides ready to descend. Ask them to enter the back of your throat chakra if they need to. Opening up the back of your throat chakra so you can understand and clear your past with new insights. As if an energy is radiating out of the back of your throat chakra into your past history. sense that that allows you to be more creative and change your present, that you are not defined by the past as you were. As if your spirit guides are giving you new perspectives. Spirit guides are activating at the front of your throat chakra. And as they do so, something new is opening up in your awareness of your future. Almost as if through the front of your throat chakra, you can talk to your higher self and your spirit guides about what it is the best thing for your future. Again, imagining grounding your throat chakra by connecting it to your sacral this time in a loop of energy as you come out. Anything there? No? Alright, we can carry on. Anyone?
Very weird sensation, that opening the back and looking backwards. That was strange.
Yeah. quite honestly, have you ever had a situation, although it's in the movies all the time, you remember that film Angel Heart? That was really quite good. Mm. You know, Mickey Rourke, and he plays this character who then realises later, by the end of the film, that he sold his soul to the devil. And all that time he thought his life was what it was. And then it completely changes your perspective, doesn't it? When you have this revelation about who you really are. Well, that's what I mean. It's not. But every now and then you can have a revelation about what you really have been doing and why and what contracts you've been in and what the whole meaning of it all was. And that your whole, what you thought you were doing and the lessons was actually your own perspective. What I mean is, what if you had that revelation that redefines your biography about who you thought you were? What if you got that revelation twice a day, three times a day? You know, you don't have a fixed life story. It's only what you think it is. And the only reason you think you are who you are and what you've done and why you've done it is because that stabilizes you, puts you into a comfort zone. But your story, seen from another person's perspective, is completely different. Yeah. So from your higher self's perspective, it's looking at your life differently to the way you are. Anyway, what I thought was the more difficult thing for people seemed to be the opening the front of the throat chakra. Did you find that a bit hard? Bit uncertain, isn't it? Because it creates a dilemma. So let's work on that energy next. And that dilemma is about whose will is it anyway? You know, because you have a personal will. You know, you have a personal sense of self. You know, you say, this is me. And let's face it, you know, there's this whole dichotomy between selfishness and selflessness, isn't there? Between what is strengthening, you know, and it's because that's your life, that you have an intention to do something for that, or because you're doing it for others. And that's going to become a stronger and more important dilemma, because the concept of self is dissolving. You don't need to know why, but the sense of who you are, your construct of self, is rapidly dissolving faster and faster over the next thousands of years. So that more and more people will live as if they don't quite know who they are, because they're part of the group consciousness, the collective consciousness. Now, this brings the kind of all kinds of other issues, but I think the key initiation here to activate is the one that's in the Garden of Gethsemane in the story of Jesus Christ. Do you know what happened there? Jesus Christ and the disciples, we're not saying it in Christian ways, just that is the initiation. They basically had the Last Supper, didn't they? And what did they do at the Last Supper? They ate too much. They ate too much food, they drank too much wine and beer and ale, and Jesus says, Jesus Christ, I'm full. I need to have a walk. So I'll go over to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he took three disciples, and he says to them, look, stand over there, stand guard, you know, I'm going to go in there and talk to my dad, God. So he's in the garden, and he talks to God, and he knows he's going to be crucified the next day. And he says, if I need to be crucified, if I don't need to be crucified, if it's all right, can I get out of it? You know, because it's not just a crucifixion he's about to have. He knows what's going to happen to him. It's not just about, you know, nails through your arm, wrists. And you're about to merge with the pain of the world. He's about to take on the pain of the whole collective human race. And all that pain's going to go through his dying body. And he's going to just go into hell. Not his personal hell, but everyone's hell. and going to be and spread the blueprints from the spiritual world into hell so that we clean up the earth. Now, if someone told you to do that, what's your first impulse? Can someone else do it? Or do I have to? Am I ready? You know, can you imagine that level of psychic, emotional, and physical pain and martyrdom? So, of course, he says, but then he says, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, that's his whole intention, he says. And that's what happens when you surrender your lower will to God. In however you see God. God never says to you, oh, that's really good. I'll give you a first class ticket on an airplane to a Bahamas beach holiday because you've surrendered your will to me. No, God will always give you something painful, transformational, something embedded with a crisis of self and a crisis of change. Isn't that true? So, but that's good because that's what life on earth is about. So that if you don't surrender your lower will to God, to higher will, effectively, you're not really... you don't know what to use your lower will for if you're on the path, if you see what I mean. Because then you don't, you know, your lower will is dissolving. So if you're going to surrender it to anyone, surrender it to God. Don't surrender it to others like friends, family, gurus. A lot of people are doing it to gurus, aren't they? They're joining ashrams and cults and saying, I will surrender my lower will to that guru. You know, master, and they're just ordinary people. You see what I mean? There are no gurus in the world now. You have to surrender to your higher guru. Let's see what happens. Now, when you do that, that higher will then comes down through your crown chakra and takes you over. And it usually descends through your chakras and particularly through your liver and gallbladder and activates a new level of bile flow in your liver. And in the bile, there's a process, it's the iron process. And that iron then enters your blood and activates a new iron energy in the red blood cells so that your red blood is surrendered to God. Because I won't bore you too much, but in the early stages of the human race, our red blood was programmed with personal will, selfish will, free will, the will to do something because it's for your survival or for your personal needs. So you have to surrender the iron in your blood now to God. And then you become a sword, as it were, a spiritual warrior who acts for God and not for yourself. Okay, so let's try that. Just have a... cast your eye mentally on your heart and throat just to realize, firstly, that they're more balanced and more open now already. So we're now going to open up an energy in your crown chakra, which will spread into your third eye and down. So imagine propelling yourself in your mind's eye to the Garden of Gethsemane, which in the Bible was the garden you visited, or the Christ within you visited after the Last Supper, the night before the crucifixion. Imagine in the garden, there's a serpent somewhere, the serpent of the world, representing the fall. And spend the next few minutes imagining you are having that same conversation with God now. as Jesus Christ did. Are you ready to surrender your will to God? Can you truthfully say in your mind, not my will, but thy will be done, knowing you are about to have the most important initiation in your existence the next day, where you have to surrender your whole existence to be of service to God? Sense that the next day what will happen is a crucifixion, not really of your body, a crucifixion of your ego. Your whole sense of self will die because you have surrendered your will to God. You will gain a new ego. Never alone. God is watching your every move, your every thought, for how effective you can surrender to God. To stabilize the energy, just imagine a whirlpool or vortex of spiraling energy in your crown is spiraling down your body. Yeah, see anything there?
Yeah, right. You know when we do the initiations to Christ, aren't we surrendering to Him?
Yes.
Isn't that surrendering to a guru?
No.
Why not? You're giving your will over.
Because the Christ is you.
Yeah, but we're still giving our will over to...
Yeah, your own higher guru. Yeah.
Like Jesus Christ.
No. Okay, the dynamic is this. Jesus was a man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's like any of us. You know, he's evolved, he's gone through his initiations, and then at some point he says, I'm ready. And he particularly had to do a lot of basic preparation. His ancestors, he had 42 generations of Jewish people, the Essenes. They really purified the genetic code for 42 generations to create a baby, ultimately, that gets born with as pure an energy and balanced a chakra structure as possible. Then, at the age of 30, so that's just Jesus, the man, okay? At the age of 30, he receives an energy from the spiritual world, from the sun, in fact, and that's the Christ codes. And the Christ codes are his higher self, basically. But at a level that humans weren't ready for before. And that's the level of the higher self that should have always been on earth from the very start. That should never have allowed the lower self to ever have been limited, i.e. to have a world of higher selves in their bodies fully. So that level of his higher self came down, but it didn't come down all the way into his body. At the age of 30 in the baptism, it hovered around him in his aura. So then he's technically called Jesus of the Christ. Jesus of Christ, i.e. he's a blend of two beings. Jesus the man and the Christ, which is effectively the God within him, because you're all parts of God. Then, at the age of 33, when he gets crucified, those Christ codes, i.e. his higher self codes, finished entering the rest of his physical body, entering inside his body, at the moment of dying. Because that's the only way to reverse death. You die and reverse death at the same time, so you then go into resurrection. It's all a bit abstract initially. You'll get it in a few thousand years. You'll get it, definitely. We're all going to get it because it's spreading, these codes. And that's when he becomes fully Jesus Christ at 33. So the same thing is happening to you. All of you are activating the Christ within you, the Christ codes. Nothing to do with Christianity. It's universal energies.
Yeah.
And it's got nothing to do with someone else's Christ codes, but at the same time, you can only activate the Christ codes if you also recognize everyone else is also a higher being. Otherwise, that's your lower self, you see, because the nature of the lower self is separatism. The nature of the Christ and the higher self part of you is unity consciousness. So it's a bit of a blur, really.
But your lower self is giving its will over to the higher self.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then in the realization of God, then it is just a pure knowing that I am just that and nothing else, and there's sort of nothing in there.
Yeah.
But from that is arising all of the divine.
Yeah.
Oh. And then Jagat Guru Mahavatar Babaji.
Yeah, I know him very well. He's a friend of mine. Yeah. What do you mean? Go on.
Does anyone know him?
Which one? I don't know. There's so many gurus out there.
But he's the one who developed Kriya Yoga.
Oh, right. Okay.
He was the Himalaya Babaji. And he sort of meditated for like 5,000 years with us. He's been here 5,000 years ago in humanity. So he's my guru. And we work together. And I feel in certain ways it's like surrendering your will over because... He's evolving.
Generally speaking, any authentic guru is simply a mirror to your own inner guru.
Yes.
And that's all they are. And they would know that, you see. And they know you know, and you know they know. And you know they know they know. So let's go on to the last one. And the last one is, you see, if you're a spiritual being on earth, and you've got a spirit guide, who's more superior, they or you?
No.
Yeah, it's a trick question. So you're as equal to your, you are equal to your spirit guides. You see, the only thing that's limiting you compared to your spirit guides, and remember, your spirit guides know you well, but there are other spirit guides waiting to channel down to you who you've never met before. They will give you even more advanced knowledge.
So they're superior?
No, no, there's no superiority amongst the spirit guides. What it is they're living at a higher plane of consciousness in the cosmos. What really is the so-called limitation is the fact that you possess a physical body.
Yeah.
That is the key difference between you and your spirit guides, because your physical body clothes you and limits your awareness of the spiritual world, and they don't have that limitation, and therefore they can see more. So what we can do in this final meditation is imagine you are a being of white light, and you're having a meeting with your spirit guides. And let's, for argument's sake, imagine there's 12 of you. There might be different numbers, but start with 12. And so you're talking to 11 other spirit guides in a circle. You might imagine it up there in a ring. And I want you to feel or sense if you feel inferior to them. Like you feel like a little child. You don't know what you're doing.
Okay, can I ask, because today there was a lady who came for healing, and she's amazing. She's absolutely amazing. And she said often it happens that when she's in a group and she's doing work, Christ will appear. And she said he appears, and although, you know, everybody knows Christ is so humble, but she was like, he has this real air of, you know, like, I am the authority, I'm the cosmic authority. And then I was thinking about the whole superiority thing, and then it occurred to me that a cosmic authority would be one who has responsibility over others. For example, he was given responsibility. Probably didn't want it, but was given responsibility to clear humanity's karma through his book.
Yes, for sure. I mean, ultimately, the higher up you go, the more you are being of service.
Yeah.
And being of service, you know, is part of what you identified. You do get to a final, a higher stage, by the way, where you don't bother being of service.
Mm-hmm.
You just be. You've got no kind of job role. You're just being, and that's sometimes called Mahatma consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's imagine you and your spirit guides, and I want you to imagine having a conversation with them, not about getting any guidance this time, but about who's in charge. Are we all equal? Am I inferior? Are you superior? And try to balance it out so you are trying to tell them that you are one of them, and they are trying to tell you that you are one of them and that you're all equal. Okay. So again, in your bubble of light. But this time, start off in your third eye. And in your third eye, you may sense that there is a beacon of light or a beam of light activating. Through this light beam, your soul, your consciousness can travel into other realities. Like a laser light or a torch light. So from your third eye, imagine asked to go into the higher dimensions to meet your group of spirit guides, a team who know you well. And that you're all standing or seated in a circle facing each other. Imagine you're all having a conversation, sharing telepathically. And imagine whether you have anything to contribute as an equal. In fact, you can imagine the topic of conversation as all 12 of you are around in a circle, is you're all looking at the center of the circle at a theater, a drama, a play. And that play is your life story. And sense that some of your spirit guides are laughing at your life and seeing your life as a joke. See if you can share them, their attitude. Finally, imagine your spirit guides, your team, are giving you a task to continue with as you return to Earth in your body, a homework assignment. And that assignment is to rewrite the story of your life as if you're writing a play, but this time that play will have more jokes, comedy and perspective. It won't be such a tragic story. So come back and imagine your base chakra, and as you do this, so visualize you'll get on with that homework assignment over this month.